Yo. Yo. We supposed to have like 4 bars. You know? We said we gonna start the show with 16 bars. Everybody got 4. Everybody got 4. Yo. Yo. Last week we did, the week before last we did, my name is TK, and I'm the best all the DJs want. Yo. Yo. You feel better?
I
feel better than him. All right, that's a bet.
What's up? It's a hot girl summer. Hot girl summer, but
uh-oh,
you gotta be hot first.
Uh-oh.
Don't go around town being third.
Uh-oh.
Steve.
Uh-oh.
Me. No way.
Uh-oh.
Say what?
Yo.
Today.
Yo.
Uh-huh.
Yo.
It's EJ.
Oh, I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
Uh-huh.
Yo. Yo. I knew the E-Day was coming. Oh.
Let
yo.
Me slow down.
Yo. Yo. Shit, wow. Yeah, we ready to go.
We ready.
Yeah, we ready. All right. Welcome to Communion. Sundays, 5 p.m. Got me here, TK the Kid. Of course, lovely cousin E-Day in
what's
the
up?
Building.
What's up?
We got our first male guest since we got started.
The first male
first
guest?
Male guest. First male perspective in the building.
That's a lot of pressure.
So I know him as Eddie, but, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's Dr. Moore. What you want to be called in front
Eddie,
of the people?
Eddie is fine.
Eddie's fine? Yeah. All right. So welcome.
That's been my nickname my whole life.
Welcome Eddie to the show, and then yeah, Retta should be here momentarily.
My
she's running a little bit late.
My government is Thomas Edward Moore.
Thomas Edward Moore.
And I've always been known as Eddie,
so,
just as a nickname.
So we're going to call your man's Eddie tonight.
Call you short Eddie
for,
today.
You know, short for Edward. It's Eddie. So, yeah.
So Eddie here chit-chatting with us, but y'all know how we do things to get started. So we're going to start off first with our affirmation, Eddie. I know you didn't heard the show or watched it, mm-hmm. So you know E-Day has our daily affirmation. So we start with that by repeating after her and getting into the vibe.
All right.
And then we'll get moving. Let's do it.
All right. I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy heart, body, soul, and mind.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
That's goodness.
Yes.
Right there. That's
goodness. Yes.
Because people come together and there's no uniting.
And there's no intention to unite.
Right.
And so they come with the bullshit.
Right.
But that's not what we do
here
at Communion.
We
come to unite with
those
around
us.
That's it.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here.
I am here.
And I am whole.
And I am whole. Y'all know those are my favorite lines out of all of them. Always be waiting to hear that. I be so stoked when I go in my office and I kind of say that to myself and I tell some of my employees about it. So, yes, I am here and I am whole. So, let's go around the horn. Right. E, how was your... We'll start with you and then we get to Eddie. Well, since I got two E's here. So you're going to be Eddie and then you're going to be E.
Okay.
So E, how was your week? How'd the week go? Tell us something about the week.
Yes. So my week was great.
Okay.
I ended the school year this week.
Yay to the end of the school year.
Woo! It was a trying year.
Right.
Very different.
But...
My kids, they showed up every day healthy and whole and full of energy.
Okay.
And they showed up willing to be taught. So that's all I can
gotta
say.
Love it.
You gotta love it.
Gotta love it. So how'd it end for them?
So it ended with a portfolio night.
Okay.
Where they, you know, did all of their work and their parents came.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, explained to their parents each... artifact that I put on like a old school science board,
right?
You know, like science board project
board.
And then on the very last day, we just had a dance party, we had ice cream. It was like no pressure, just finishing the year the way we started
with fun in the sun,
with
I like
joy
it.
And fun, and just looking forward to the following year. So
good. Any ways you hold yourself accountable this week, just around processing stuff of your own personally outside of work?
So I am still working out.
Of course.
So I'm still doing that.
Shout out to Chase Fitness.
Yes, Chase Fitness.
Shout out to Chase Fitness.
Is actually in St. Lucia right now.
Okay.
With his wife and family.
Okay.
So we had no boot camp yesterday.
Okay.
So I had to do boot some things on my own.
Okay.
But I was a part of a photo shoot of his before he left.
Dope.
Me, his wife, and another client,
okay.
which I really enjoyed because it was like three different body types.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like every body is a bikini body. You're like, as long as you take your body to the beach, you have a beach body.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter what it looks like. So the photo shoot was great because everybody is different. One girl was petite.
Right.
You know, I'm not petite. I'll just say it like that. I'm not petite. And there was another girl who was a different shape than me,
right.
but, like, to be there together,
right.
like, owning our bodies
right.
was
And
just,
representing for all women.
Yeah,
because all women don't look the same, nor should they.
They should not.
But all women should feel good about
the body,
how they look and
about
the body
that,
they,
that
have.
They have.
So I can't wait to see, you know, what comes
either.
Of those photos.
I'm
excited.
I was psyched.
Uh-oh,
like,
beach
real,
body?
I'm in a fitness photo
beach
shoot?
Body?
Oh, crap.
So, and again, so how long ago did you start that journey of really, like, focusing and honing in on the working out?
I would say 3 years ago.
3 years ago? So
yeah.
Do you feel like 3 years of a... Like, was this one of those milestone things that said, like, God damn it, I really, like, did this?
It was. And the reason it was, at one point in the photo shoot, the photographer was taking a picture of me and Q.
Okay.
Talking.
Right.
Just talking.
Uh-huh.
And Q said to me, you've come a long way. And in the middle of, like... So the photographer is just, like, snapping.
Right.
And we're having, like, a regular conversation.
Uh-huh. Candace though.
And he said, you've come a long way, Ebony. And I was like, oh, my God, I have.
Right.
Like,
I did that shit.
I did that.
Yeah.
Like, I can do a real live push-up.
Yeah,
because
I remember you was like, that was a goal, to
I
just
be
able
like,
to get to
oh,
one.
God, I can, like,
oh,
my
goodness.
Oh, my God.
God.
I can do it. So, it's the small victories that
mm-hmm.
lead up to a big party, so...
Okay.
It's all good.
All goody. Well, good. Glad to know that your week went that way.
Thank you.
All right, man. What about you? How was the week? Before we get into it, how was your week?
All right. I don't want to bring down the energy, but my week was not as
like
exciting.
That.
No.
it was not like that.
It was
okay.
Not like that. So we're closing out the school year.
Okay.
And, you know,
by the way, we got two educators in the building, if
yes.
you couldn't already tell. We got two educators in the building, so you guys are closing the week out, but not the school year quite yet.
Right.
Okay.
Right. School year will be done week after next.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the last week is a very short week, so closeout has begun.
Okay.
You know,
so y'all getting into that.
Last week.
Those final stages.
Right.
Okay.
And since we've only been in the building since March, late March, and we've had, well, early April at that. And we've had a very unconventional school year,
uh-huh.
as we know. Closeout is not organized.
Okay.
And it is as unconventional as the school year.
Has been. Right.
So a lot of things were thrown on our plates.
Yeah.
Last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, get this stuff done now or it's going to carry
right.
over into your summer break.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing with me, you know, I've been an educator my whole career. And my birthday, obviously, has been the same time my whole life.
Right, yeah.
And it's always been the last week of school.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to close out, like, early.
Yeah, so you can
and
get to the shits.
Yeah, so I can get to my birthday.
Yeah.
So, of course, the birthday's already planned, you know. I'm ready to be with the shits.
Yeah.
But school closeout is slowing me down, so I've been working, like, really, really hard.
Just trying to.
You know, just trying to finish up, you know, last-minute reports.
Right.
Final exams.
Right.
Grading. Meetings.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
So it's been a
week.
Task. Yeah,
okay.
It's been a task.
And anyways, you held yourself accountable this week with anything?
Yeah, I definitely have held myself accountable with exercise.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been drinking more wine.
Educated and fit. We got the educated and fit crew in the building today.
Yeah, definitely work out.
Okay.
You know, I'm serious about my diet and my eating. But just holding myself accountable with diet, eating, but been working a lot.
Okay.
So just haven't been, like, in high spirits.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, maybe not this week. Maybe next week. But either way, it's your birthday. Your birthday coming. So the birthday.
Yeah, next week.
Birthday
well,
roll. Yeah, I'm about to say birthday roll straight into the turn up. That's on Wednesday. Thursday.
Yeah.
Birthday roll straight into
the
turn
up. I'll be done with everything
June
10th. Hopefully by Tuesday morning.
June 10th. Ready to
What's
celebrate.
That? What's that, Gemini?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The duality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two of you.
Sometimes.
All the time.
Thomas and Eddie.
Thomas and Eddie.
Yeah, that's it.
Dr. Moore.
One of my boys just said, "Nah, you're really the same person. Sometimes you just say stuff, you know, like a thug, and some, the rest of the time
you say stuff, like a doctor.
Like a doctor.
Like a PhD."
Yeah. He said, "But you same, still, same said, statement. You still coming with it, though."
Yeah, same statement.
I was like, "Oh, wow, well, thanks."
Just slightly.
You've been knowing me since I was 17, so I guess I'll take your word for it.
You can take his word for it, yeah. And the people that don't know you like that, I guess they got to get to know you like that. So, yeah. All right, well, good. So, for me, the week has been interesting. So, I think I've only really been here once since I started the new role. Cap Heights.
Uh-huh.
So overall, I'm very excited about the transition. Mm-hmm. Of course, excited about the job and what I do because I know what I do and I know how to do it. A lot of challenges because, you know, if you don't have the labor there, it makes it a little harder to make things make sense. So I've been working I probably barely get off work before 9, 10 o'clock most days. And that's out physically. I'm not talking like working and then coming home and doing work. I mean, physically out there just because, you know, a lot of times I'm more than one person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the goal is that I build a foundation to get it right. So in doing so, I need to be out there to do it. You know, I could, you know, pencil whip it and get it done quickly. I know how to do that, too. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. But the goal is to get it right. And so I know I got to invest early on. Mm-hmm. In order to kind of lay that foundation. And eventually when I get the people where they belong, you know, things will look a lot better. But I didn't even ask you guys how your holiday went. But in my business, particularly, you know, the holidays are rock solid. And because everything was really opening back up and stuff like that, even with the weather being a little janky, people wanted to get out and do things and stuff like that. So it was like super hectic and super crazy. So that's been kind of what my week looked like overall. And one of the ways that I have held myself accountable, or should I say what I did, was I have reflected on some things that have had me not out of sorts in a way, but going back to the whole job thing and kind of just working long hours and stuff like that. I'm eating out a lot more than I was before and, you know, trying to build a routine. So soon to be making some adjustments that will be able to kind of level set that and balance things out. Yeah. So that I can get back to my routine, spending less finances out, you know, because I'm eating out and stuff like that. But the one thing I realized, you know, there was a time where it was like, you know, I wouldn't take fruit and stuff like that with me to work. And I wouldn't take water because I would be out, especially in the summer, it would get hot. And then I'm like, you know, now stuff is going to waste, not making sandwiches and stuff like that. And I realized that I'm in a grocery store like 10 times a day. You know what I mean? So I could buy a thing of fruit in one store. I could buy a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could literally buy my lunch as I go.
On the way, right?
Yeah, and still be able to choose from a plethora of options versus going to McDonald's and getting a fish sandwich because I don't eat meat and I don't eat fish, so I'm stuck with all fried shit just to be quick.
Yeah.
Now, so last week I did a lot of that. You know, I would grab some cantaloupe here or I'd grab, you know, stuff like that just to try to. So that's one of the things that I recognize and decided I had to be a little more intentional about. So I plan to, you know, kind of use that moving forward.
Good.
So getting into it, you know what I'm saying? Like, Eddie, you know, you've been listening to the show, but this is a very candid conversational environment. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got no script. Really don't have no real questions. We just chit-chat about what we know and what we do. We actually we like to give our guests now a shirt that says, "I am the expert of my experience." Unfortunately, because you are the first male, you know, we got to get a shirt made for a man so we can give you one. So I have some in my trunk, but they all women's cuts.
Yeah, I get it.
You know, so I definitely didn't want to bring that up to you. But nonetheless,
slim
this
fit.
Is all right. The slim fit, you know.
Baby doll tee.
You know, unless you wanted to be a muscle shirt, I figured I'd leave that in the trunk.
Still the shit.
You
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I get it.
Yeah, so, but I say all that to say, you know, you are here being the expert of your experience, and that's what we are doing, and that's what each of our guests are doing. So we're here just to chit-chat. So let's start, you know, communion. We do a play on, you know, bread and wine and stuff like that. We don't have the eats today, but you do got the wine. I wanted you to choose it, understanding that you got a special diet.
Tell us about this wine.
You know
wine.
What I'm saying? So tell us about the wine and what you chose, why you chose it and why you like it, and we're going to give it a try and let the, you know, our audience know what we'll be drinking today.
So this is a 2017 Pinot Noir.
Okay.
The name of it is Verrata. and it is, the grapes are grown in what's called the Tri-County. So it is the counties of Monterey, Santa Barbara, and Sonoma.
Okay.
You know, okay. So where, you know, in California, you know, where a lot of, you know, rich wines come from.
Okay.
This particular winemaker makes wines that are particularly for vegans.
Okay.
Me being a vegan, okay. Being on that journey now for almost 5 years, I just gave the wine a shot, you know, just to stay in alignment, you know,
right.
with my diet, and also, you know, to support the winemaker. And it's a very fruity wine.
Okay.
It goes well with, you know, a plant-based diet.
The shit you eat.
Yeah, the shit
okay.
I eat.
Yeah.
And I only drink red wine.
Okay.
So I like to try a variety of red wines.
Right. Now, do you try to stick with vegan, like, you know.
Vegan wines?
Yeah, or
so
are you a little more free with that?
I'm a little more free with that.
Because it's less availability.
A little more free with that. I'm just learning of what. Is considered to be vegan wine.
Okay.
Yeah, explain.
I was about to say.
Isn't all wine vegan?
Yeah. What meat is in there?
Yeah, it's not necessarily what it's made from. It's the taste that the winemaker tries to achieve. And the winemaker
is trying to balance to be comparable
with the food.
I gotcha.
So the winemaker is trying to achieve a taste that balances with the fruits. All right,
that makes sense. I was about to say, damn, they out here making meat grapes.
Niggas is making meat grapes. All wine is vegan. That's what
I
would
think.
Niggas is making meat grapes, but just the core, with the food.
Gotcha.
You know how your whites go with your
seafood. And are you seeing that that's the case? Are you seeing that based off of trying this and, you know, trying a lot of red wine, do you feel like.
Great question.
This particular brand is doing it. It's living it up to it.
I asked myself that. I'm like, okay, how do I feel about this, you know, being comparable with the food that I eat? And the thing is, I haven't eaten meat and dairy in so long, I don't even have a comparison point as it relates to
right.
this wine being comparable with the food I eat versus the food I
you
don't.
You used to eat.
Yeah.
Okay. But what about this particular brand versus other brands that may not be having the intention of trying to pair it? Do you feel like it pairs well? Do you feel like this is your one of choice? Like this is definitely my one of choice okay.
because it's full body.
Okay.
It's an
and we
older
like full
wine.
Body.
Yeah,
shout out
yeah.
to everything and every person that's full body.
Yeah, it's full
shout
body.
Out, shout Ooh, out to the full body.
You know,
shout out to the full body.
Like it has, you know, has legs.
Yeah, that,
legs.
Here you go.
Has legs.
You know, also
shout
you know,
out
it
to
was,
the full body.
It's a 2017.
Let me see the bottle so I can show the people.
2017. So it was. You know, made a while
this
ago.
What, this is what your man's drinking
yeah.
when he's eating his vegan food.
And I'm going to tell you another thing. Like, the alcohol content is like 14.6%.
So this is liquor. This is liquor wine.
Yeah.
This is lime. No, this is.
And it's only 17. And it's only 17 bucks. So for something with this quality, with this taste, and the alcohol volume, for 17 bucks,
oh yeah,
you can't really beat it.
Yeah, shout out to them for making it easy, convenient, and comparable.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, then. All right, so what are we talking about today, sir? What you coming here to chit-chat with us about your birthday? Let's talk about the plans. Can you disclose the plans,
plan
or is the plans a secret?
No, the plans are not a secret.
Okay. What are we doing for our 37th, so the year to 10, which is the year to 1.
Ooh, I remember so when I was 37.
We should talk about that in a second. What you was doing at 37.
10 years ago. Almost
so,
10 years ago.
Yeah. You know, I used to live in Florida. I lived in Florida for 4 years.
Uh-huh. You did.
So I've been all over the state of Florida.
Interesting experience.
Interesting experience in grad school.
To say the least.
But a very beautiful state.
Uh-huh. Okay.
As far as the landscape, very beautiful state.
I've been all around the state. Right.
And I would say, in my opinion, the most beautiful beaches in Florida are south of Tampa.
Okay.
On the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
Longboat Key, Siesta Key,
okay.
Calladesi
Shit
Island.
I don't be hearing nobody talking about.
You hear nobody talking about it doesn't get advertised to that degree.
So you're not going to Miami is what you're
not
saying?
Not going to Miami
okay.
at all.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I don't have anything against Miami. It's just not for me.
Right.
You know, I just think it's a interesting like juxtaposition between the culture of Miami
right.
and the natural landscape and being like being a beach town and also being invoking of relaxation.
Right.
But the culture of Miami not being that.
Right.
You know?
Correct.
At all.
Yeah.
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 And then all the prices are jacked up.
Correct.
So yeah, Siesta Key, Longboat Key,
okay.
Clearwater, Calladesi Island.
Okay.
All on the Gulf Coast. all white sand beaches.
Hey.
All white sand beaches.
You on this side today?
You know, when's the last time you've been to the beach and you actually saw shells in the sand? You know, you can definitely get you some shells and all types.
When I just
stuff
went to,
well,
not me.
Out of,
so y'all
out
not,
of the country.
Oh, so
yeah,
y'all. Oh, so y'all not asking. So y'all
we're
not asking
you.
Me.
We not
okay
asking you.
Y'all not asking me. Never mind then.
Yeah. So
there you go.
So yeah, I'm gonna go back down there and just be real low key.
Live it
and
up.
Relax. Yeah, just be real low key. You know.
And live it up.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So real quick, Retta just got in the building and joined us. Retta, this is Eddie.
How are you doing?
Nice to meet you. This is Eddie, my mans, my family, my cousin.
Yep.
My dog. Been around for a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh yeah.
His birthday coming up this upcoming week, and we had talked before the show even started about him coming in and being on the show, so I figured I would keep it kind of around his birthday just as a celebratory time to introduce him. So being our first male guest, also an educator, like Ebony, so they were just kind of talking about how their week went and everything. So we just chit-chatting at this point. So real quick, just so we get her caught up, how was your week, ma'am? I feel like I ain't seen you in a minute. How was your week?
It was cool, you know. Oh, my busy as always.
Right.
A lot of hours, but, you know, I maintain.
Everybody put in a lot of hours except for Ebony.
No, it's all good, though. Like, get your win.
Yeah, enjoy please. That. Yeah, enjoy it. Enjoy it.
But, it's cool. I can't complain. I made it through.
Made it through, right? And you here and you whole, right?
I'm here and I'm whole. Yeah. Parts of me still, you know, catching up.
Right.
I was, like, hitting 90 on the road.
Yeah, no, be safe. Get here but when no, you get here. Safe. We'll be here when you safe. Do.
I don't go past 80.
Yeah, I don't either. They say I drive like a grandma.
Traffic was bad.
I drive like a grandma.
I do. They say I drive like a grandma. I don't care though.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah,
I like riding with you.
You do.
You drive safe.
I am a safe driver.
Yeah,
if I'm not anything,
than,
I am a safe driver.
The late Ebony.
No, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so here's the thing for me. I feel like
rather be seen.
You either have to leave extremely early so you can be on time in the place, especially in this area. Or you just gotta not care. You know what I'm saying? That is one of two things. Otherwise, you're always putting yourself in an unsafe predicament.
Yeah.
And doing the job that I do and having to deal with safety, manage that as a thing for my people and myself, I'm always thinking about what's going on the road, constantly scanning. I mean, I be up against some very interesting things on the road, but I thank God, you know what I'm saying, fingers crossed and knock on wood, that it's always worked itself out. But I think it's because I'm so aware of what's happening, and I'm not rushing. Even when I feel like I'm rushing, I'm still hitting all the points to make sure, you know what I mean?
Right.
I try to get to these places safe. So the only other question that I asked was, is there a way you held yourself accountable this week in anything? Yeah, E was talking about exercise, so was Eddie. You know, I kind of just talked about my eating habits and some of my routines. Anything you did this week to hold yourself accountable?
I can say discipline. I actually spoke with a life coach through the certification program that I'm in to be a health and life coach.
Okay.
They realized that I was...
Shout out to you for doing that. I didn't even know we was doing that.
Today is my study day. Sunday is my study day. Half the time I'm studying up
to... I actually want to do that.
I fell off. They called me and just kind of was like walking through...
Right.
Steps, what I could do, and basically discipline and time management. So as far as accountability, just this week, really I felt like I kind of organized my thoughts and my time. So going forward, hopefully.
So you feel like you're ready?
Yeah.
Feel ready in a better state
done,
of mind.
You know, with the...
How much longer you got on it to get to the end?
I guess I'm halfway through.
Okay.
About 6 months.
Okay.
Right.
That you can get it done in 6 months. But
right.
Full time job.
Yeah.
And all that.
It's hard to do.
Supervisor / manager / director.
All right.
Like, I got so many responsibilities.
So I can't wait to see the end of that.
But anyway, I'm excited.
I'm excited for you.
It's awesome.
All right. So he told us about this wine. Basically, he's a vegan. We're going to ask a couple questions about that. But he basically chose this wine because it works well with his particular diet. So in talking about that, you said vegan for about, 4 or 5 years now?
Going on 5.
So do you miss it at all?
No, I don't.
You don't miss it at all?
When you smell meat, ribs.
Like, yeah, it doesn't smell good to me anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it smells kind of strong. Yeah, it smells kind of strong.
Yeah.
You know, and eggs stink to me now.
Okay.
And shrimp stink to me now.
I think eggs is the one thing that if I were to transition over, eggs would be the hardest thing for me to get rid of. I love eggs so much. That would be the thing that I would fight about.
I slipped and had half of a turkey burger yesterday, but I've been trying for like, what, a year?
To no meat, to get the meat out?
Yeah. I mean, I basically got it out, but then I'll slip and eat some turkey burger.
I mean, you know, I feel like sometimes you got to listen to your body. Yeah. Even though, you know, shout out to the vegans. Like, I think that's dope. And if I could get there, I mean, which I could, but if I were to get there, I would celebrate that too. But I do think what really is important is that you listen to your body. And while plant-based is probably the most healthiest option for most people, if we were to put them in tears and say what the body was made for, made to do, and how God made it, blah, blah, blah. Right. Of course, I would say that probably eating, you know, in a vegan way is probably the best way for everybody to eat. But I do think it's important that you listen to your body. So if your body is calling for something particular, I know some people that don't really eat a lot of red meat, but when they're about to come on their cycle and stuff like that, all of a sudden they need to replenish, and that's how they figure it out. So I think it's important that you keep to whatever you keep into and be intentional and disciplined around it. But listen to your body, because your body a lot of times is going to tell you what it needs by design. You know what I'm saying? So don't even hold yourself in contempt about your turkey burger. If you need it, just go for it.
But do you find that eating fries a lot or you know what I'm saying? Think carb heavy. Mm-hmm. Because
carbs is the bullshit, and that's where I have a big problem.
That's what I'm saying. Like
I have a huge problem with the carb. I have a huge problem with that, just because I think we had talked about it before. Because I can't eat mushrooms, and then there's some seafood that I cannot eat.
Yeah,
it limits me in a way in the things that I could try and the things I want to explore.
Right.
To be able to make up for some of that. You know what I'm saying? So I end up eating a lot of bread, potatoes, shit like that.
I was gonna
that
say,
still is not as healthy just because I'm not eating the meat.
That's what I'm
saying. I don't think just not eating meat is the thing. I think it's eating non-meat that responds with the body well. And that's fuel. Everybody is supposed to be eating fuel.
Right.
That's what the body is supposed to have. What you put into it as a nutrient is supposed to be fuel. And if it does not make you want to get up and do something, you did not just eat fuel.
Yeah.
That's ultimately what it boils down to. Right. Food should be fuel.
Right. So that was my question. Do you find yourself
with
eating...
limited choices, do you end up
This nigga
fries,
be eating beans and shit. And this nigga don't be eating no goddamn fries.
Yeah, so... my transition, I transitioned because I had a rude awakening, you know. So I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2017. Mm-hmm. And ironically, one of my best friends told me, during the time I was diagnosed, I was partially paralyzed. That's how bad my experience was, right? And I'm talking to him on the phone. Because he's calling to check on me. He's calling me from Texas. I had just moved back to the DMV from Texas. And he was sad, but he was very hopeful. Like, after, 10 seconds on being on the phone with him, I'm literally sitting in the hospital bed with tears in my eyes telling him this. And I don't know why I broke down with him. Maybe because I've been knowing him for so long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Probably a very comfortable place, too.
Yeah, that's my man, 50 grand, you know. And he's my barber.
Right.
So... he know most stuff. Right. He knows stuff anyway.
That's your therapist.
Like, this dude, taught me how to play golf.
Wow.
Like, all of that. You know what I'm saying?
So that's probably why you feel comfortable.
And so when I told him that, he was like, oh, man, don't worry about it. No, the point I'm trying to make is he was like, oh, man, don't worry about it, man. I got the same thing. I was like, nigga, what? Right. You know? And he's like... yeah, man, I went blind in one eye, you know.
Right.
He told me all the stuff that he was going through. Shout out to my man, Jerry Jeffries.
Shout out to Jerry Jeffries, y'all.
But he was like, yo, that's why I changed my diet. He said, that's why I got slim. I said, oh, I thought you were just working out. I know you was eating right. He's like, yeah, that's why the only meat I eat is salmon. And he only eats Pacific salmon, and he grills it.
Yeah, I've been trying to stay away from Atlantic.
About that.
Yeah.
He only eats Pacific salmon. He grills it, and he only grills it on a charcoal grill. That's the only meat he consumes.
Okay.
And it's all fruits, vegetables, and grains.
From there.
From there.
Okay.
And so the point is like, it's not just about like not eating meat. It's definitely, you know, back to what you said, it's about fueling your body with all of the living Correct. Things that it requires. Mm-hmm. You know, so I do eat a lot of beans. I do eat like wild rice, no white rice, no bleached rice, tons of fruits and vegetables, grains like quinoa, couscous. Mm-hmm. I eat a lot of lentils now.
Right.
You know, shout out to, you know, my Ethiopian spot, Habesha Market. Told me how to cook those. So it's all about eating stuff that, like, living things and not, like, things that are dead, you know. I was watching this Dr. Sebi video. He was, like, basically he was saying, like, stop eating things that are dead. Stop eating all that brown shit, like fried chicken, fried this, and french fries.
Yeah, what about raw? Like, raw?
Yeah, I do raw. So every morning, you know, I have a raw kale smoothie. So it's kale, blueberries, celery, sea moss. In the evenings, and I got this from my grandfather, you know, shout out to my grandfather, who's 82 years old, in his right mind, just upgraded from an iPhone 8 to an iPhone 12.
Out here killing it.
You know what I'm saying?
Out here being the young folks.
Definitely in his right mind, sharp dude.
He's
been drinking apple cider vinegar since I can remember. Apple cider vinegar tea?
Yeah.
And he said his granddad drank it. You know, my great-great-grandfather, Wilbur.
They say there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he lived till he was 90 years old. So my grandfather was like, okay, you know, I'll do it because my grandfather did it. And then I started doing it way back because he was doing it. And so I just reincorporated that back into my diet, the apple cider vinegar. So I don't do it every day. Sometimes I slip up or forget. But I would say every other day, at least 3-4 days a week before I go to bed or when I wake up in the morning, I'll have a cup of tea with apple cider vinegar, honey, may squeeze a little lemon in it. You know, and I feel like, you know, it really helps to, like, energize me, clean me out.
So, from a weight perspective, what's your extreme? So, what'd you go from to where you're at right now as far as weight? Like, how much weight did you lose within this transition? Just in changing your food and stuff.
So, there was a lot of variations in weight because I was sick.
Right, okay.
You know, when you're sick, you know,
you always naturally lose weight. Correct.
You know, you just lose.
Right.
You know, muscle mass and everything.
Right.
But in terms of healthy weight that I lost, well, I would say some of it wasn't healthy. I would say overall I lost 50 pounds.
About 50
like
pounds.
Like a solid 50.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from like 230 to 180.
Okay.
Yeah. And I definitely went down like a size and a half.
Okay.
Like shirt, waist probably dropped 3 sizes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how you feeling? Oh, I'm sorry.
Well,
go ahead.
Did you, you know, just kind of adjust back a little bit once you learned like what to put with what, like eating healthy and how to maintain like the or build mass or build
I would say I went from like 180 to about 190. Now I'm about 190. I'm not like skinny dude by my frame and all of that. I'm not a skinny guy.
Okay.
Slim dude, you know, I'm like thick. So 190 is a healthy weight for me. It may not be a healthy weight based on the charts you look at your white doctor's office.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But for me,
shout out to the white doctor's,
you know,
office.
For me,
they'll be having the charts to be lying.
I'm just trying to learn
sometimes.
Yeah, but for me,
okay.
You know, like body fat very low. I work out 190. I don't even look 190. So
I guess a question that I would ask you is for people, I know that, you know, veganism and all these different things, a lot of this stuff is very trendy. A lot of people are doing it. And sometimes things being trendy is a good thing because sometimes you just got to get your feet wet. You need people to be engaged, to get involved, right? But for people out there that's really considering it and may have questions around how to get started, what do you think the easiest, like, what's a meal to easily transition to bring into your week that could add some value? I know when I was talking to you about it, beans was a big thing. Black beans became like a staple.
Right.
So what would you tell the people would be, you know, introductory?
Introductory food, meal, whatever, would be a fruit or vegetable that you really like.
Okay.
So that fruit or vegetable that you really like, and it's broccoli
OD.
For most people.
OD.
Go ahead and OD on that.
Okay.
You know, take out the butter. You know, and take out the heavy salt.
All the shit that make a nigga shit.
Not saying all the salt.
Take out what makes a nigga shit.
And take out the butter.
Okay.
But go ahead and OD on that vegetable.
Okay.
And that fruit that you really like.
Okay.
You know, because one thing about transitioning into veganism, it is in fact a transition.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Takes time.
And I like that it's popular now, but the thing that I don't like is the commercialization of veganism.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's all about, like, Impossible Burger, Beyond Burger. Oh,
right. The you alternatives.
Know, the alternative, like the dishes. Stay away, in my opinion, and no shade to any enterprise or the people who do it.
Right.
But once you start to transition into veganism and and you start to substitute with the vegan entrees, you're not moving forward. You're staying the same, you know, because you're consuming a lot of soy. You're consuming a lot of sodium. You know, things that make the food taste good. You can't transition into these entrees. You really got to eat raw, straight up fruits and vegetables.
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm learning.
Like so it and that makes sense. Eat something you really like so that you don't get discouraged and eating. Right. It's something that you could over consume to get yourself going. So that was a smart. I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah, people.
But that was a smart one.
People at work are like, oh man, I tried the the vegan chicken tenders.
Right.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is that? Oh, you don't know what that is? You don't eat that? No, I don't. And then they look at me. And I'm like, look, you know.
It's not about all of
it's not
the
about
alternative.
It's not about substituting what you used to eat.
Right,
correct. It's about a new lifestyle. It's definitely a lifestyle change.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's what you eat and it's when you eat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, and that's so crazy.
Stop eating after 7 p.m.
I can't even substitute so much because of the gluten.
Yeah.
So not only am I'm trying to do vegan because I don't do the dairy. Okay. So vegan, gluten-free, and then I can't do a certain seafood, shellfish, shrimp, none of that. So I'm limited. So all of the fake me out chicken tenders, my daughter does that. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding myself, really it's like vegetables, fruit, rice or quinoa. And I've gotten into the wild rice. Mm-hmm. And now I'm trying to do beans because, as you were saying, like you limit, like I'm anemic too. So it's like I'm trying
You need iron and all these, you need protein, you need all these things that like, you can't find places.
I almost went to, I did go to the ER, but I had to eat liver when I left the ER because my blood count was so low trying to do this vegan thing.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, I need to study.
And figure it out.
And find out the balance and what.
Yeah.
Man, so it always, I feel like it's funny, you know, that we've been having this conversation.
Raw oysters, it may help you with
But
your
she
iron.
Can't eat but that.
You said you couldn't eat that.
Shellfish.
Yeah, she can't eat that.
I don't know what category that falls. I guess
that shit got a shell. Yeah. That shit got a shell on it. Oysters, right? Stay the hell away from that.
We
staying away from anything with
anything
a shell.
With a shell.
She just accidentally got the crab. Yeah. She went grits, to bus boys. Right. Thought she got the regular grits. They gave her the crab grits. She got the shellfish allergy.
Not even two bites.
Tore her down. Pulled her all the way down. Pulled her all the way down. That was a couple weekends ago, right?
Yeah.
The weekend after Mother's Day.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight through this vegan thing. I'm going to get
It's down. Tough when you limit it. So that's why these things are important. And you guys don't know each other. And you didn't really. This show that's really good. Is just so, you know, kind of fluid in a way that I just be doing what the fuck I want to do. That I know that he's coming, but I didn't really get an opportunity to tell y'all that. But look at us here right now. Being available. So when we say communion is a place that we come to unite with those around us, we are shout out to E-Day for the line.
That's
you know what I'm saying? But and listening to spirit and that kind of guidance, because what does that do? That brings us all together then to be having conversations that we need, and everybody gets what they need, you know what I'm saying, when they show up. That's what I love about having this show and what we do here, because while it is intentional, it seems like things just kind of lay themselves out without us planning. I didn't know she needed this conversation.
Yeah.
And yet
Seamless. Here
you are with the conversation. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to, you know, going with your intuition and
That's
just
it.
doing
That's
what you
it.
Hear in the discernment. So That's all it. Good stuff. So what you got here, man? I see you done bought a book. What are you bringing us? You done bought us wine. You done bought us the good jewels about the veganism.
Well,
what's going on with this book?
I'm going to pull me some more if that's okay.
It got to be okay. The bottle's on the table. Got to be okay. We can replace his bottle if he needs more.
Yeah.
So I
it's $17, by the way. We already discussed that.
Total wine? Total wine?
Yeah.
I got you.
So what we got here?
So, yeah, like just in having a conversation about education and being a black educator.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Being black educated and an educator of
black people.
I didn't want to say just black people because I didn't know all the
majority.
People you educate are black.
Yeah, majority now. Okay. Now, since I've been back in the DMV.
What's that like? Talk to us about
it's
that.
It's great. So I bought this book in particular because I feel like I feel like it really guides my work.
Okay.
And it really motivated me when I first read it. I read it in undergrad. It's copyrighted in 2015. So okay. That's like when I first read it.
Right.
And it's by Dr. Jawanza Kunjufu.
Okay.
And he actually taught my vacation Bible school.
Okay.
When I was like 10 years old.
Okay.
It was just this guy with dreads. He was very Afrocentric. He had kente cloth.
Uh-huh.
He didn't even have a, like a suit on. He right. just had like kente cloth with a t-shirt or something right. like that.
Okay.
He was just like a interesting guy. I'm right. like 10, but he was captivating to me.
Looked different than what you used
yeah,
to
see. Yeah, he was captivating to me. And then by the time I get to undergrad, I see this book with his name on it. And I'm like, oh, I know that dude. He taught my vacation Bible school back right. in the day, back home in P-Town.
The way the circles feel.
Right. And so I read this book, and the name of the book is Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
Let me see wow. that so I can show yeah. I can show the people.
Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
Here you guys.
It's 3 volumes.
You guys go, everybody. Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys.
So I got into the field of education because I had a very rough and unique educational experience.
Okay.
So I don't know if all black men or even some are actually internalizing this educational experience they're having while they're having it.
Right. Probably not.
But I was. Mm-hmm. And that motivated me to become an educator. Everybody's like asking me, what are you going to do and all of that. And of course I didn't know, but I knew that the thing that I cared about the most was having a good educational experience and the people who were coming after me doing the same, especially black men in particular. Because I just felt like, we were at the bottom of the barrel, man. We got the worst treatment, the biggest stereotypes. I just felt like we took the biggest L in any situation.
What do you think triggered that line of thought?
It was my experience.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the first experience. I actually wrote about it in an essay that I put together a few years ago.
Okay.
When I was 11 years old, I missed the bus to go to school. And I missed the bus because I had learned how to make pancakes. And I just wanted to make some pancakes in the morning before I went to school.
So you was bullshitting.
Crush me some pancakes. Yeah, I was like, man, I'm about to make these pancakes real quick.
Shout out to being an independent young
lad.
And
then I'm going to school.
At, what, 11 years old?
After I crushed these, pancakes real quick. You know what I'm saying? So I'm in the kitchen, flipping them up in the air.
And slice because you can flip and catch.
Slicing it. You know what I'm saying? And you really can't flip it until it's done.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So you had to wait.
Yeah, I'm doing my thing. And I kind of like move fast out to the bus. I see nobody out there. I'm like, shit, bus gone. So I walk to school. 7th grade. I'm like 4 blocks from the school.
Okay.
Cop pulls me over, slams me on the hood of the car. Bam, I hit my ribs, He rips my jacket off, roughs me up, goes in my pockets, Throw my jacket in on the ground. It was like a puddle on the ground because it had been raining. Throws my jacket in the puddle of water and shit,
Yeah.
So it's all muddy and dirty.
Right.
And he's like, oh, I thought you was somebody else.
Wow.
Then he just drives off. And then I get to school late. With a dirty jacket on, right? Or with a dirty jacket in my arm. Dean of Students, definitely know his name, but
we're not
he will get
use
no
it.
Credit. Up
yeah, we're definitely not going to use it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He asked me why I was late to school, and I told him why I was late. And he said an officer of the law would have never did anything like that.
Based off of how he's talking, I'm going to
assume.
Guess what?
Yeah, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
What was the dude's name that got the job over you? What did we call him?
Nelson.
We're gonna say it was okay. Dean Nelson. Right.
Okay.
Dean Nelson did that. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So he gives me detention, man, for being late to school.
Okay.
I'm like, yo, I'm partially late because I wanted to make me some pancakes, but
I'm more late because
I'm more
of
late
my experience.
Because of that, and you're not like you're totally like ignoring this experience I had.
About the mental experience.
And then I go to class, like my first period class, and it's a history class, and I go to that teacher, And I tell him what happens, and he just stares at me like I didn't say anything, and then resumes his work. He's sitting at his desk listening to me tell him these things, and then after I finish talking, he just gets back to work, doesn't acknowledge anything that I said
at all. Yeah, wow.
You know what I'm saying? So that was my initial experience with educational inequity, racism, police brutality, all
in the same
within an hour.
I'm about to say
within
all
an hour,
the same
man.
Time in
11
the same
years
day.
Old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so by that time, I just started becoming very vigilant of everything that I was encountering in the educational space.
And paying attention to
paying attention to everything. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know what? You know how you young and you be, you know, be upset.
Right.
You know, you be like, when I get, you know, when I do this, when I have my whatever, it ain't gonna be like this. You know, or when I, you know how it is. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, yo, when I have my own school, you know, I ain't gonna be doing this to people.
Right.
You know, or when I'm a teacher, I ain't gonna be acting like this or whatever.
So are you who you wanted to be as an educator? Or at least are you in alignment with that, with that line of thought?
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
And I think that's why, you know, Black teachers matter, because there will be a kid that comes to you that needs to be heard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That needs someone to relate to them. Because it's
definitely.
So what I'm hearing is that these teachers could not relate to you.
Yeah. Right.
Because
were any
they
of
didn't
them
look
were
like
any of them black?
No.
That okay.
Okay,
that,
right.
Just, they were all so,
so
they were all named.
There was only one teacher at that time, and it was the dean of students, and neither one of them were black.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why we
so
need
I had three experiences.
Representation matters.
I had three
that's
experiences
why.
That
but
morning.
I think that matters in the three workplace, at school, everywhere, mm-hmm. because you need someone who can identify with your experience.
Yes.
Because unfortunately, when you go into the workplace or school and you're trying to explain to people what you're going through, and why you are responding a certain kind of way or doing certain things, or, you know, why your life is being impacted in a way. When you're not talking to someone who understands that and they don't have the emotional intelligence, nor do they have the cultural sensitivity, then they just respond from a very tight, narrow lens of perspective.
Yes.
Or, to your point, they respond at the surface. And a lot of times when people are coming to pour out this, like we're talking about a kid that's probably visibly angst, full of anguish, you know, like a seriously troubled. Not only you missed the bus, so that was already a thing that got you up.
Right.
On the way to missing the bus, I mean, after missing the bus, now you have this horrid experience. Now you've decided to walk to school. So I'm not sure, you know, what the distance is. But if you're busing, obviously, you need a bus. Mm-hmm. So you've decided to walk the distance that the bus would normally go.
Yeah.
So
it's
that
like two,
thing
like 2 miles.
Is another thing.
Like
so you're trying
to
still get to the place where you get to. And don't have and lack the support, and on the way, then you experience this other thing.
Trauma.
You know what I'm saying? Trauma.
Right.
And then you get into an environment that now you have to stay inside of for 8 to 10 hours because that's just the way the day goes. Mm-hmm. So you're processing all of this information alone, and don't have anywhere to turn and really deal with it. By the time you even get home, you're so flustered around that. Do you even really have that conversation? Like, that's what I was about to ask. So you get home after all of this has happened to you for the day.
Right,
is this
right.
a conversation you have with your parents? Or is
right.
this is this something
that
you just have experienced and you just now are starting to self-regulate and dealing with it on your own, because you now don't even see anyone as an outlet because every outlet you went to ignored you. You know what I mean?
So in answering that question, honestly, and in full disclosure, I would say that I grew up in a single parent household.
Okay.
My mother worked a lot.
Okay.
So that was hard for her.
Right.
She had already told me not to be late for school.
Yeah, so you really don't want to tell that story. Cause
it's the pancakes for you. I really don't
want to tell that part. It's the pancakes for you.
You know, why I don't...
How you even miss the bus in the first place? Yeah, because a black mom was gonna say you should have had your ass on the bus anyway. Absolutely, this is exactly why you would have been on the bus.
Exactly,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel you. So yeah, you rode that one out.
So yeah, I just ate that one. You know.
But I think
shout out to Eddie's mama.
Yeah, that situation could have turned you against education,
right?
Altogether.
I'm glad it turned you towards it.
Thankfully, it turned you towards it. But like my son. He was labeled disruptive and, what is it, lacks self-control up until
fifth grade. That's a subjective
and,
point of view, you know.
Right. I'm like, give him extra work from first grade to third grade.
Yeah, but it's people saying that they don't understand him.
Yeah, I sent him with workbooks. Give him extra work. But he's in middle school. He's in high school. You know, that this mindset where, what do I need education for? Mm-hmm. You know, eighth grade, he's talking about, I don't need college. You know,
we live in a world where people don't need it. There's so many people who are successful that don't have it, that now people really believe that they don't need it. And do they?
And I understand that, but I'm like, well, this dude, he brilliant, you know, he needed extra work. Mm-hmm. All A's, you know what I mean? A's and B's. But his mindset totally
shifted because of that experience.
Against education.
Because of that experience.
And he's in college. He's trying to, you know, not trying, but he's finishing. He got one extra semester.
Yeah.
Still the same mindset.
Shout out to your man.
Isn't that crazy? But still the same mindset. It's
like, I did one extra semester.
I was on the 5-year plan, so it's okay.
You know, sometimes you got to do that.
No,
you know,
I'm fine with that.
It's like,
it's 5-year plan at VSU.
It's like 72 months. It's like 72 months.
Address what you're saying, I guess, from my black male point of view.
Uh-huh.
We inherently know that the education that we are receiving is not that of a quality, and it is not pinpointed towards our black male development.
Right.
Like, we might not be able to intellectualize it to that degree.
But innately, you know this shit ain't for you.
But innately, we know that this ain't it. You know? Like, it just don't sound right. It don't feel right.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand. That's why, you know, I kind of give room for, what do you call it? Self, just awareness.
Self-expression
and development and, you know, whatever path he chooses. But, you know, he's going to complete.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, give respect for his own individual thought. And, but it's
so,
just.
So,
I'm fine. I'm done.
So, as Mr. PhD, would you do that to the point of what she's saying, and there being a lot of people that feel like they don't need education? You got your PhD at what age now? Because shout out to the man that got his PhD at 30. Y'all hear that out there? It can be done. Mr. PhD at age 30. So, would you do it again?
Yes.
You would do it again. Tell us why. In the world we live in right now, where education is one of those things where it's up in the air. Like, there was a time where education meant everything. And people still didn't do it. Now, we live in a world where people don't need, in most cases, don't need education at all. So, tell the people why you would do that again for the people that might be considering it.
So, I had aspirations on being an educator and administrator.
Okay.
Right? So, that is why I say, that's the primary reason I say I would do it again.
Okay.
But the other part of doing it again is because it taught me how to read critically, how to think critically, how to write critically. You know, essentially, it intellectualized my political consciousness.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, we're all woke to some degree, right?
Okay.
You know, but how do you take, you know, this quote-unquote wokeness and make it,
applicable.
And apply it? How do you apply it, you know, to something relevant and how do you get credibility for that?
Okay.
You know, for what you know how to do and what you're attempting to do.
Right.
And I think the PhD gave me the ability to, like, intellectualize what I was saying, you know, to be able to write it in a way that was acceptable to various audiences.
Right.
And it gave me the credibility.
Especially, you know, competing audiences.
Yeah, especially competing audiences.
Because
you got to be able to
speak their language and shit.
But as blacks, we compete against ourselves.
Too.
You know, so I'm in a black school district, you know, right
now.
Your
own community.
Yeah. So my school district is black.
Yeah.
But in this black school district,
they still want to see.
You know, it is still a lot of competition.
Right.
You know, and if I tell you what, it also this degree also teaches you to, like, how to speak up for yourself in a way that is, like,
so advocating
savvy
for yourself. Okay.
Yeah, like politically savvy. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody can stand up for yourself, but the way you do it matters in the professional space.
Mm-hmm.
And really in the social space too, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really taught me that, you know. So just in my school district, you know, the way that I advocate for myself, the way that I show the things that I know how to do, the way that I conceal the things that I know how to do, you know.
A lot of that came from that experience.
From that experience. And so my experience within my district, within my schools, is a very positive experience.
Okay.
You know, like, I like what I do. You know, I'm a resource specialist, so I have the opportunity to, you know, provide instructional coaching to other teachers, to teach my own classes, to work with kids, you know, in special education. You know, I'm not doing just one thing. You know, and I appreciate that, but I wouldn't have been able to do that thing if I didn't really know how to advocate for myself, how to show what I know, and how to conceal certain things that I know too, because you definitely will get exploited.
Okay. So taking that back to the book, what did you pull from this book that you feel like the audience needs to know? Why are they going to read this book when they get off this show? Why are they going to pick this book up and get tied in?
So one of the biggest recommendations. So this is going to vary. This isn't the answer to your question yet.
Okay.
But one of the biggest recommendations in this book is for black men. It's for black men to go into teaching for at least 3 years.
Okay.
Regardless of what your passion is, you know, go into primary or secondary education for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. And teach that thing that you learned and that thing that you care about to younger kids.
Okay.
Because
I like
there
it.
Are not going to be any other black men who go out there and do that. And Dr. Kunjufu is recommending young black men to do that straight out of undergrad. He says that is the way for you to establish your credibility and to sharpen your skill set and to uplift and liberate
right.
your community.
Be pulling
fresh
up
fresh out of college,
pulling up
whether
as
you
want to
be a teacher
like
or not,
it.
Whether you are in the
like
college
it.
Of education at your respective right. university or not, take those skills within that industry to primary or secondary education and teach other black people how to do that, because you will inspire them to do something, you will give them practical skills, and you will be a black face that they can relate to.
And be representation,
you know,
that matters.
And then once you go yeah. to apply for that job at that corporation, or once you go to start your own company, you have the credibility, you have
Absolutely.
The validation, because you have already been a teacher within a school district.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it.
Wow. Yeah.
I like it. And that's something simple. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That whole idea of each one, teach one, right?
Each
but
one,
a lot of
one.
Times people, I'm guessing because I haven't read the book, but I can understand why it's like an immediate thing. Because a lot of times once you go off on the path and you get lost and you get overwhelmed and you get overworked and you get off track and now you don't have the same ambition and passion, now you're less likely to teach it. Because now it's been tainted, you know what I'm saying? Now you've been, you know, broken and bruised and this, that, and the third, and now you damn near over it.
Mm-hmm.
So while you still passionate, while you got it all, while you got a sponge full,
mm-hmm.
you might as well wring it in a place
yep.
where, you know what I'm saying, you should be redepositing. So I like
right,
that as
right.
a concept.
Another idea, important idea, is that it's fact that a lot of black men, once they graduate college, for those who graduate, once they graduate, mm-hmm. they spend a significant amount of time unemployed or underemployed.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we can't really control, you know, the racial structure. It is what it is. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
But in order to avoid that lapse, you know, in time, being underemployed or unemployed,
mm-hmm.
get into the school districts, public school districts, because the majority of public school teachers are white women.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And those
shout
are
out to the E-Days
yeah.
of the world
and those
who
are
not white women, even though
it.
Majority of them are.
But those are
thank you.
That is the majority of the people that are teaching black kids.
But even
you know?
Internships. I've talked to my son about internships. He
mm-hmm.
was in the English education major. He switched to just regular English under, journalism.
Okay.
And then added communications. But I've been telling him for 2 years to get into do an internship with a school.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He wanted to kind of lead towards the teaching thing.
Yeah.
I was like you said, we need
yeah.
young or, you know, just young, but any type of, you know, black brothers in these schools so they can have, you know, just a representation of, you know, what is possible.
Right.
But even the brokenness, even the not so positive, you know, paths that you go down as a young man, I think that is... That can add also to your experience and
yeah.
in teaching,
right?
And relate
yeah.
in a certain way,
right?
Mm-hmm. And I just wish like there was a big brother program or you know some type of thing. Like everything you're saying, I'm like, man, I wish my kid
had
like,
that
yeah.
right
mm-hmm.
here listening, because now all these
well definitely tell them tune into
yeah.
this and,
yeah.
and check
oh, yeah.
it out. So in us, we need to try to get wrapped up. But I do want to ask you one last question, because you
yeah.
made it. You spoke to being in special education.
Right.
And a lot of our young black boys are in special education, somehow gets grouped into that. So what I would say is that in the preparation for the summer, we probably got a lot of black mothers out there with boys who are in special education, stuff like that. Based off of your experience and what you've seen around COVID and how it's impacted young black boys at this time, is there something that you would leave them with around how to maybe navigate through the summer to try to tie some knots between this year and next year? you know what I mean, and close some gaps to prepare them as we move forward, knowing that this year was a challenge probably for most children, but particularly to those that who may have special needs.
Yeah. Respectfully, but frankly, educate your own kids. It is your responsibility as a parent to ensure that your child has a good education.
Okay.
Don't allow it to be solely the responsibility of the county, the county or the educators to inculcate your child with all of the tools that they need in order to be successful. So definitely take this summer to make your child read.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of black men, young black boys, who are illiterate.
Right.
You know, even at the high school level. I teach high school.
Right.
Only taught high school. I deal with a lot of illiteracy. And that's heartbreaking, you know, just because of the history, you know, behind, you know,
us and why we haven't been taught to read in the first place. And why being able to read should be so important.
Right.
Because that was one of the original tools to keep us from intelligence.
Right.
And teach us and keep us in a place where we could not progress forward.
Bondage.
Just absolutely. Oh, yeah. Because what we could not read, we did not know. And because we did not know, we could not do. So shout out to you for that one. Yeah, that was
second,
a nugget.
And then the second one is, I challenge all parents who have kids who are in special education, I challenge all parents to think critically about the quality of education that their child is receiving being in the special education curriculum.
Okay.
What is the special education curriculum doing for your child, and what will the special education stamp do to your child's upward mobility upon graduation?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, probably a lot of parents probably don't think about that.
Yeah, think about that.
Right.
You know, especially being, you know, inner city, you know, underperforming schools. Do you really want your kid to have, you know, a special education stamp on their diploma, on their transcript, being a black man and
especially if they don't need it.
Right.
Because some kids get into, some kids get routed into special education but don't belong there.
Most.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of them is behavioral.
But some
of them need it.
Yeah, and
yeah,
some
of them do need it, but I think that goes back to what he's saying. I think that it's important for the parent to really assess that as a thing and be involved. Because sometimes the school tells you your kid needs to be in special ed.
And you just say,
okay, without actually,
right,
you know, getting involved in making that make sense. But then there are times where, of course, if a person belongs somewhere, that goes back to medicine and all that stuff. If you need it and that's what's going to work, right, and that's going to push your kid ahead, do that. But I think the most important thing, I think we could sum it up probably in one word, and it's about, or two, awareness and engagement. Don't let the school decide what your kid alone.
Yeah.
Be
well,
engaged,
the parents
aware and engaged.
Parents don't have to agree with what the school is saying.
And unfortunately,
right,
parents do that all the time.
Right. You get parental safeguards to let you know what you can say. You can not agree to your kid having an IEP.
Absolutely.
So
correct.
So the school is not anything.
But I don't think that a lot of parents know that they have a choice. I think that
they should, because it's by law and you're supposed to read the safeguards. Do you guys read the safeguards to the parents?
We do. But here's a bigger point. Right. It is fact that if your child has one of the 13 classified diagnoses, like one of the 13 diagnoses that qualify them for special education, then they have a qualified disability, and that qualified disability also almost guarantees that they get a Social Security check. And a lot of parents live off that Social Security check or use that Social Security check to fulfill the needs of their household. So think about what you're sacrificing. Yes,
if you don't put them in.
Yeah, if you don't put them in special education, you know, you may be sacrificing your livelihood and you may need to do. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Disability or whatever.
Yeah, it's a qualified disability. Yeah. Once you have a qualified disability.
I know several children.
Once you
have
a qualified disability.
Yes,
it's
a thing.
You go to the Social Security Administration.
It's a real thing.
You go through another assessment with them. And then you can get a check every month. And a lot of the parents get a check every month. And that's why they allow their kids to be in special education. You know, and these are parents who don't even show up for IEP.
And honestly, I feel like that's a whole nother conversation itself.
Yeah.
So I feel like you got to come back for us to dig more into that.
Yeah.
But I do know that that's a fact. Because I know several people that use those checks to, you know, do what they got. I mean, obviously to take care of their kids and stuff like that, but
so somebody
they get a
with
check.
A learning disability will
that's
get a check.
Yes.
Yes.
It could be dyslexia.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I mean, I know my uncle had Down syndrome.
No, it doesn't have to be that severe. Yeah. It could be
so we're
not, speech.
We're not talking about like autism
speech.
And things like that.
It could
sometimes
be speech.
It could
be ADHD.
And
it could
get
be
a check for
it
that.
Emotional like disturbance. Yeah, it's, there's 13 qualifiers.
That's wild.
That's why I teach early childhood.
Yeah, there are 13 qualifiers.
In private. Yeah. So,
in private.
In private.
And,
well,
I do what
and
I want.
A lot of them are very subjective, you know.
But at the end of the day, the parent can't say that I don't want my kid in special.
Yeah,
and that,
can,
and that's
the,
I think that's what
parent,
he's saying.
The
too.
Parent can turn.
They
yeah,
can turn
they
it can down.
Say, they can say, "Hey, I don't want my kid to be in special to be assessed." You know, because
right.
they don't just throw your kid in; they have to
right.
be assessed.
You have to be tested.
The parent could mm-hmm. could disprove, you know, mm-hmm. the testing and the assessment, mm-hmm. and then the kid won't be in special education, or the kid, right. or the parent could advocate for the kid to be tested or reassessed
uh-huh.
to be
right.
back into the general education
right.
curriculum.
So,
right.
big thing, parents,
testing out
be aware. And be engaged as you go into the summer and then as you head into the next school year. So, thank you, Eddie,
for coming.
Hold on, oh, I'm sorry,
go ahead. One more point.
Z ready to get out of here. I'm just playing. Z, always put it on you.
Here's another thing for parents to consider.
Okay.
Colleges and universities operate like businesses. They are businesses, you know. Mm-hmm. Colleges and universities legally do not have to accept a child that has graduated from the special education curriculum. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
It's, legally, they don't. Because right. certain a lot of colleges and universities legally cannot offer remedial courses.
Okay. So keep that in mind, good people, especially for parents of children that are in junior high and going mm-hmm. into high, and now this is the time for you to start thinking about college and stuff like that. Is the path the correct path for your children, being aware mm-hmm. and being engaged, being mm-hmm. involved in the decisions and not allowing, you know, the school to guide that. They're there to support you, help to give you what you need, to give you the resources, but do your own homework,
that's
do
right.
your own research,
that's right.
and make sure that you are owning your kids' education because that's your kids, right. too, I'm sure, in some way, form, or fashion, have experienced something like Eddie's experience that they may never have gone home
and
told
about.
Their parents
yeah.
about, and yet emotionally and mentally mm-hmm. on the inside of them they're experiencing something, and you're trying to figure out why it's affecting their school and why it's affecting their behavior and
yeah.
all those other things. So being aware and being engaged. I will say real quick, just as we wrap up, it just made me think about in watching The Shy. I just got caught up to season 4 okay. and there's something that happened in The Shy just recently where they were involved with the police. And then so all of a sudden, Kevin is now drinking and heavily smoking, popping mollies and lunching out, and everybody trying
yeah.
to figure out why.
Yeah.
And it's based on that. So smart kid, never really been in trouble, but constantly watching life just happen. People
yeah.
are dying and being involved in all these things. And then before you know it, you're a totally different person
mm-hmm.
trying to navigate through all of that. Parents are oblivious because they're working hard
yeah.
and trying to juggle all the things that they can see on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the while, you're leaving your kids to other people to guide and rear and figure out who and what they're going to be. So parents, do your best to be involved from the educators. Even E is over here nodding her head saying that this is definitely the way. So awareness and engagement. Let's take that with you this summer for your kids to make sure that they're getting the proper education that they can get and staying involved that way. So we're going to end our show again. Thank you, Eddie,
for
showing up and having this conversation. Please,
yes,
you know, if you were at the beginning or not, go back to the book. It is called Countering the Conspiracy to Destroy Black Boys. So mothers with black boys, fathers with black boys that can read, you know what I'm saying? This is probably a book that you want to get up in you and start taking on some of those perspectives and weighing in on them and figuring out what you think about his thoughts. And then any last words for you, Eddie, before we go?
You know, I just want all, you know, the listeners out there just to be safe. You know, have a very safe summer. We know that this is the reopening summer.
Right.
You know, but let's operate, you know, with some caution and be vigilant and you know, be safe.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Definitely needed that one. And then we close, as we always do, with our affirmation. So give us this nice, soothing, soft voice what that E-Day really? Always drops on us. What's our affirmation for the people that may not have been there, been here when we got started?
What a wonderful show. I had to, like, I can't just jump right in.
Okay.
I have to digest. Yeah. I have to breathe.
Okay.
Because this was really, really good.
Shout out to Mr. Moore.
Really so, good. Yeah. Doctor Moore. Edward, Thomas, all the names you
Thomas,
had,
Edward.
No, seriously. T.E. Moore. Like, yeah. Thank you for, coming in and sharing your experiences, your knowledge, like...
Thank you for being a black man with a black face, with a black education, yeah. And educating black people that can speak to this
and
for black people.
Yeah, and bringing a book that basically is what you do every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, we can read books all day long and don't apply it.
But right. Is it applicable?
But is it right? So, thank you for that. Like, brilliant. As a black female educator, it's great to be in the trenches with black males who are serious about education.
Right.
Like, yeah, we want, black men to teach, but don't just go in there teaching and being foolish.
And yeah. Right. Teach, right. Them, right. Teach them some shit that matters.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So thank you for teaching what matters. Thank you for being what matters. Thank you for showing our black boys that they can do because you have done.
Right.
Like,
right.
So that's
awesome,
good.
Awesome,
that's
stuff.
Good.
Thank you.
Take that into your birthday
it.
Week.
Yeah.
Feeling accomplished. Really. Like, 37 years old, years of PhD and all the things that brought you to that moment. You know what I'm saying? You finally are seeing, the circle
of your
full.
Labor.
Yeah.
The
right.
circle full.
Right.
So shout out to that.
Yeah.
Shout out to
that.
But no, look, a special thank you to you, TK, because you've been influential.
Oh,
highly
man.
Influential.
Oh man.
In my transition from Texas to the DMV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Started
for sure.
My career post PhD in Dallas, Texas, working with DISD.
Yeah.
And then I transitioned to the DMV where I really wanted to be, where family is, closer to home.
Yeah.
You have been imperative to that transition. So,
yeah, you know how we do.
Thank
man.
You.
You know how we do. My man, it's 100 grand.
Beautiful.
All right, so what you got for us, E? Close us out.
So I'm going to not say the I, and I'm going to say we.
Okay, we,
because
I like
I
it.
Feel like I'm speaking for everybody
that
has heard it tonight or today and that are
here,
here right
in the
now.
Room.
Yeah.
Z included.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so
we're
going to weed
Z.
this thing out.
Yes.
Oof,
this was
good
great.
One. This was a good one, wasn't
it? I can't just...
We got to let dudes come in here more often.
Yeah, we do.
You know what I'm saying? Balance out some of this.
That's
balance out some of this. You know what I'm saying?
We need that male energy in here.
Right.
Definitely.
Okay. This was good. Okay. We have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
Have a healthy.
You don't got to repeat this.
She closes out with this one.
We are full of positive
and
nourishing
thoughts.
We have come.
Yeah, we have come to communion.
Yeah, we have come to communion.
To unite with those around us. Yeah.
We have been grounded.
Yes, we have.
And present in this experience.
We have.
Okay.
And we are here.
And we are here.
And we are whole.
And we are whole.
And we are whole. All right, man. That's it. Thank you, Z.
Woo!
All
my
right,
God.
Man, that was a good show.
My God.
Yo, that was a good-ass show. I like the beat flow.